Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Michael Eric Dyson's book on Jay-Z. Sophie, I gotta say, this one surprised me. I thought it was just a biography, but it's way more than that.
Oh, absolutely. It's really a meditation on Black masculinity, capitalism, and what it means to succeed in America. Dyson uses Jay-Z's life as a lens to explore all these big ideas. I'm Sophie, and I loved how he treats Jay-Z's lyrics like philosophy.
Right? He opens by talking about Jay-Z's childhood in Brooklyn, the absent father, the crack epidemic. And Dyson doesn't just say he sold drugs. He reframes it as a survival strategy, a kind of education.
Exactly. He calls it a brutal education in economics and risk. Jay-Z learned to read people and situations on the corner, and those skills later translated into the boardroom.
And he didn't wait for a record deal. He started his own label, Rockefeller, sold CDs out of his trunk. That's pure hustle. But Dyson says his debut album, Reasonable Doubt, is more than just rap. It's a philosophical treatise on capitalism from the outside looking in.
Yeah, tracks like Can't Knock the Hustle aren't just boasting. They're about dignity and respect when society denies you both. Jay-Z raps about wanting wealth not as greed, but as a grab for legitimacy.
And then Dyson talks about the contradictions. The same guy who made the story of OJ also made Big Pimpin'. He doesn't let Jay-Z off the hook. He says that's not hypocrisy. It's the complexity of Black identity.
Right.
He traces Jay-Z's evolution album by album, from Hungry Observer to Triumphant King to Reflective Elder. And the beefs with Nas? Dyson frames them as intellectual combat, not just petty squabbles.
I was really struck by his take on Jay-Z's relationship with Beyoncé. He argues that she challenged him to confront his emotional walls. That album, 444, where he apologizes publicly, Dyson calls it a radical act of vulnerability.
Yes. For a guy who built his whole persona on invincibility, admitting infidelity and emotional shortcomings was huge. Dyson says it offered a new model of manhood for men who were taught that vulnerability equals weakness.
And beyond the personal, Dyson looks at Jay-Z's business empire, Rocaware, Tidal, Roc Nation, as acts of reclamation. He's owning the means of production. But then Dyson asks the hard question, does succeeding in a broken system validate that system?
He doesn't give easy answers. He calls Jay-Z a critical friend, not a blind fan. He challenges him on misogyny, materialism, political timidity. But he also argues that Jay-Z's success creates a kind of trickle-down economics of the spirit, inspiring others.
And he connects Jay-Z's lyrics to Black intellectual tradition, comparing him to Malcolm X, James Baldwin, even Toni Morrison. Dyson says his verses are vernacular theory, making sense of the world through street language.
Right.
When Jay-Z raps about alchemy, turning nothing into something, he's channeling the same spirit that built Black Wall Street. The book forces you to take hip-hop seriously as a form of philosophy.
The thing I'm taking away is that Jay-Z's greatest achievement isn't the money or fame. It's that he turned his pain into art and his trauma into triumph. He gave a voice to the voiceless and a blueprint to the lost.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. This book is about one man, but it's really about America, the dream and the nightmare, the hustle and the hope. We'll see you in the next one.